current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. From now through early June, volunteers will be standing guard on the banks of the Black River in northern Michigan, guarding fish. Why? Well, joining us now to explain is current state's Melissa Benmark. Hi, Melissa.
Morning, Mark.
What's going on at the Black River?
Well, it's all about making babies, actually. Okay. People are going to be manning and womaning the banks of the river, making sure that lake sturgeon, which are rare and threatened in the state, are able to leave their homes in the Black Lake and move into the Black River and successfully spawn without any human problems. Not intervention, but, there is poaching and such that has to be watched. And I spoke with Ann Feldhauser. She coordinates the sturgeon guarding program through the group Sturgeon for Tomorrow. And one thing I wanted to know is, how does a person get into the sturgeon guarding hobby?
My association with it began when I was working with the Department of Natural Resources and at one point running a series of meetings around the state on the renewal of an Indian consent decree and taking public comment. And I met Brenda Archambault, who is the person who basically spearheads this entire effort on the Black River. And she and I talked quite a bit. We hit it off. I was preparing to retire and told her that if I could be of any assistance with her program, to give me a call. And lo and behold, certainly she did. And now my husband and I coordinate the aspect of the Sturgeon for Tomorrow program on the Black River, which involves lining up sturgeon guards during the period of time when the sturgeon are up in the river and spawning. And the goal of it is to have a presence on the river 24/7 while the fish are there, at key points where the fish are in their spawning habitats, and this is to keep an eye on things and to prevent any illegal take of these fish.
I suppose that the sturgeon, don't exactly put out a press release in terms of when they're going to be moving. So how do you know that you've got the bases covered? How long of a period are we talking about?
It's always a bit of a guessing game. The fish are in charge, and they will not really come out and tell you exactly what their plan is. However, the sturgeon are really the stars of the Black River system, and everybody is watching for them. There are some people that keep an eye on the river from bridges, highway bridges, and if they see the fish starting to move or they see the sign of a fish, and the Black River is primarily a pretty shallow river, so you can usually see the fish in the river, and they're so big anyway, that they're easy to spot. So once we see the fish beginning to do what we call staging, which is starting to group up at the mouth of the river and mulling around a little bit, and we know that they're thinking about coming up the river. So at that point, then we start lining up people to be there, because it's just a matter of a day or two before the fish will find their way up the 7-mile stretch of the Black River to get to the spawning areas. And then we just continue to put people on the river as long as we see presence of fish in the river. And in addition, we have a large group of researchers from Michigan State University Fisheries Division, headed up by Dr. Kim Scribner. And they are in and on the river daily, and for the most part all day, capturing, tagging, and taking data on various fish that they can get their hands on that are in the river. So they also know when the fish are there and when they decide to slide back downstream. And the fish usually go in runs. The first run starts in usually late April, early May, and that's always the biggest run. And there are usually hundreds of fish that come up into the river at that time. And then after about a week to 10 days, that run is over, the fish drift back downstream. And then there's a lull period for about 4 or 5, maybe 6 days. And then here comes some more. Not as big of a run, but still a substantial group of fish come up the river, and it's their turn to spawn. And they'll stay in the river for about a week or so, and then they drift back down. And sometimes we even have a third run, a smaller one, maybe just a few dozen fish that come up. So it's somewhat predictable, and yet in other ways it's totally unpredictable. So we just have to kind of stay light on our toes and and move where the fish are.
Just to make sure I have the logistics of this right, you're saying they come up from Port Huron, they come up and spawn in the river and then return to Lake Huron, is that right?
No, Lake, the Black Lake.
Oh, so they live in the inland lake?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are a remnant lake sturgeon population that was once, there was a river that was once connected to the Great Lakes, and the sturgeon made their way into the Black Lake, and some of them never left the Black Lake. Now Black Lake is contained by a dam on the downstream side and also up on the upstream side. So the fish have a limited area to go into to spawn, but they also cannot get back out into the Great Lakes. So this is a unique situation that these lake sturgeon are thriving in an inland lake. And thankfully, Black Lake is deep, it's cold, and it provides good habitat for spawning sturgeon.
So then that kind of helps me understand then that if it's a deep, cold lake, you're not going to have issues with people trying to get at them during most of the year, but then they get into this shallow river and everyone can see them.
Yes, exactly. They become highly visible. There was a time when the sturgeon on the Black River during the spawning season were a prized item for their meat and also for the eggs in the females. Sturgeon eggs for lake sturgeon are not as good as the sturgeon that you'd find in, say, Russian caviar. However, the eggs in lake sturgeon could be processed in such a way as to mimic very high-quality caviar and was being sold on the black market for a lot of money. So they became a valued item in that regard. But the idea of caviar and sturgeon meat has really gone by the wayside. It's not as popular as it was at that time, and so we don't have as much of a fear as we used to. But still, there are issues with people that come into the river to try to take fish illegally, and our goal is to have presence on the river to be able to spot any suspicious activity and to be able to call in a conservation officer or other law enforcement agency if necessary to try to prevent any illegal take of these fish.
I had wondered, you know, at this point, if people were still trying to poach the fish because of the eggs issue, or now if it was basically just people, you know, saying, hey, there's this big fish and maybe wanting to, you know, eat just the flesh of it or just catch it because it's big. Is that kind of what you might run into?
Mostly we think for the meat that people would be interested in these fish and the fact that they're big and they're easy to catch. I mean, you can practically walk right up and touch them. When they're in their spawning mode, they're oblivious to their surroundings, to things that are going on in their situation there, except for males and females, and that's what they have on their minds. And so they became extremely vulnerable during this period of time when they are not only in the shallow water, but so distracted by their spawning efforts.
Okay. What kind of volunteer commitment do you usually get from people? Do they spend a day? Do they make a week out of it? What do you see in terms of the volunteers who stand guard over the sturgeon?
We have a broad range of volunteer opportunities on the Black River for the sturgeon spawning season. We have three shifts a day that are set up from 6 a.m. to noon, noon to 6, and then 6 until it's dark. And that's when the conservation officers begin their regular patrols into the area and patrol all night. And we have people who will come in for one shift. They'll drive in from Sheboygan or Onaway or even further, Petoskey, Traverse City, and stay just for an afternoon and watch the fish and keep an eye on things. And then we have other volunteers who come in. They bring in their tents or their small campers, and they'll stay for a few days, up to a week or longer. And we do have a camping incentive program for people who want to come in and camp along the river and provide presence 24/7, which is the ideal situation for us. We will provide incentives to them, tickets to our annual Sturgeon for Tomorrow banquet, which is held in Sheboygan each fall and is a really great event, and other things. So if people want to come in and camp and stay right on the river, not only is it an enjoyable experience, it's on state land, so it doesn't cost anything, And it's really the ideal situation in terms of protecting the sturgeon when we have somebody there around the clock.
It's kind of interesting because this isn't the first interview I've done about sturgeon. And I remember when I found out that I had no idea that there were any in the Great Lakes or in Michigan. And when I found out, I was sort of blown away. And I've noticed that people who are into sturgeon are really into sturgeon. I mean, it's almost like, you know, talk about charismatic mega fauna. What was it about the sturgeons that drew you into taking such an active role in this?
Well, originally, my interest was mostly in helping out with the program. And so in getting involved with that, then I started to realize the value of this resource. I mean, this sturgeon is Michigan's living fossil. There's no other creature in our ecosystem in this state that can mimic the history and the genetic structure that this fish has. This is a prehistoric thing, and it's been in our ecosystem for as long as anybody can remember, or catalog for that matter. Unlike other animals that have evolved over the years, this one is not. It has stayed genetically the same, physically the same, and it is maintaining its process of spawning every spring. The females will spawn when they get to be about 18 years old. The males will spawn after about 15 years, and then it's only every several years that they spawn at all. So it's an amazing process, and to have a sturgeon like this in our midst is really a remarkable thing, and it's also quite unusual. There's only two or three rivers in the entire state of Michigan that can say they have a spawning run of lake sturgeon, and it's very rare, and we're very blessed that we have these fish in our presence and that we can get so close to them and learn about them, understand them. And I've gained a tremendous appreciation for the value of these fish to our overall ecosystem in Michigan.
Well, Ann Feldhauser, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.